Lord God, I want to thank you that I believe with all my heart that you're real. And I also thank you that you're not a pretender. And because you're not a pretender, we don't have to be either. So, Lord, we apologize for the times we try to fake it till we make it. Thank you, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. And so, Lord, I pray this morning you just help us to just relax and be real with you, most importantly, be real with each other, but to be real with you and to allow you to minister to us by your Spirit as only you can. Bring your healing, bring your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I found this interesting story. The king of a certain country was growing old. That happens. And he had no son to succeed him. He announced to his people that he would choose an heir to the throne from among the young men of the country by a competitive test, which would give all an equal chance. On the day appointed, a great number of young men presented themselves. A certain test was made. Some failed while others passed. Then other tests came, and each time some were rejected till at last only three were left. They were put through test after test, but all seemed equally able to meet them. So the king announced through his heralds that on the next day the matter would be decided by a foot race. It's a great way to make a decision, hey? The course was marked off, the judges were at their places, and all was ready. Just at this time, a man came up to each of the contestants and said secretly to him, "The king is taking special note of you. Do not run when the signal is given until the king gives you a special signal." The three took their places, eager for the race. The signal was given. One bounded forward quickly, then hesitated, then stopped, then the other sprang forward after him, upon which the first started forward, and again they ran for the goal with all the speed they had. The third stood looking anxiously at the king and the two runners, murmuring to himself, "I can't make it yet. I can still make it. I can still make it." The king gazed at the runners and gave no heed to the one standing, still standing. The waiting man thought to himself that he'd been forgotten and soon realized that it would be impossible for him to win the race. He felt that all was lost for him. The two runners ran at top speed, reaching the goal together. They were brought back and all three stood before the king. To the first he said, "Were you not told not to run until I gave you the signal? Then why did you run?" "Oh, I forgot," said one man. "Of course," the second, he asked the same question, "meant to you gave the signal, and seeing the other man running, I ran also." And to the third he said, "Why didn't you run?" And the third man said, "Because you did not give me the signal, sir," he answered. "My son," said the king, "I knew that you could run, but I did not know if you could wait." This morning I want to talk about God knows that you can run. He's not sure whether you can wait. This morning I'm talking about waiting. How hard is it waiting? I mean, gosh, how long does it take him to cook fries at McDonald's? I've been sitting at this window for 30 seconds. My fries should be ready. You ever done that? Who only goes to McDonald's because they're fast? Please don't tell me you go there because you like their food. We'll have confession later. Who stood at a microwave going? Or watching the toaster. You know, the toaster goes quicker and your toaster will burn if you just walk away from that thing. So I want to talk about, there's some handouts on your seats. I'm hoping this is helpful today. It's helpful for me. This is a bit of my own journey at the moment, to be really honest. And so hopefully it's coming from a deep place. So I'm preaching to myself, if not to anyone else this morning. The first point on your sheets there are times when God asks us to wait. How frustrating is that? Hey, we're ready. We're packed. We're cashed up. We're ready to go. Come on, God. And he just says, wait. It's like, what? The good news is we're not alone, hey? You go all through the Bible and there's story after story after story. And here's one of them. The Lord, people, your father's household. He says, "I will make you a great nation." Now, This is interesting because Abram was 75 years of age. Who's thinking of starting a family at 75 years of age? Yeah, not me either. Right? Nation, you need to start having kids. Well, you can probably understand it when, you know, and God even gave him a refresher of the vision when he's probably around 84, 85. Right? So he's waited 10 years. God said, you're going to be a great nation. Probably about 10 years later, nothing's happened. Come on, God, are you messing with me? About a year after that, at the age of 86, and we'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, his wife had a good idea that didn't work out so well. But you understand, it's not like the guy only waited a couple of years. He'd waited 10 years. God said, you're going to be a great nation. Who's received a vision from God and thought, you know, this is falling into place, that's falling into place, we're ready to go. And then nothing. It's like, God, seriously? Are you just messing with my head? God doesn't mess with our heads, but he does mess with our hearts. He wants to see. He knows we can run, but he wants to know if we can. Prayers I prayed for a long time, a couple of months ago. I prayed, Lord, I don't know if I trust you at the moment. I haven't prayed that for a very long time, if I've ever prayed that. Part of my breakthrough during this week was, God, I forgive me for praying that prayer. But we don't know, friends, what's in our hearts until the tests come. And I didn't know what was in my heart until the last few months. I go, oh, there's some ugly stuff still in there. How do you know what's in a toothpaste tube? You squeeze it. That's why the pressure comes, friends. God loves us too much to let us lie to ourselves. God loves us too much to let us lie to ourselves. Number two. So I want to talk about what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and what God does while we're waiting. Here's what we shouldn't do. Repeat after me. God does not need my help. God does not need my help. And if you're married, say this. God does not need my spouse's help either. God does not need my spouse's good ideas. So at the age of 86, this is what happened. Now, Sarai, who was Abram's wife, had born, and she had no kids, right? So this is, the promise is not happening. The vision's not going to get any traction. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Who thinks that's a bad idea? Perhaps I can build a family through her. And here's an even worse idea. Abram agreed to what she... How did they possibly think? And if you read the rest of the story, you see how that plays. Of course, Hagar has a baby. Of course, Sarai gets jealous. Of course, there becomes all kinds of family dysfunction. Just because they couldn't wait for God to give them the next part of the puzzle. So they thought God needed some help. Friends, God doesn't need our help. We need to know the next piece of the puzzle when God's ready to give it to us. Don't make assumptions. Assumptions are not faith. Faith is what I believe in according to what God said. If God said it, it will happen. If it hasn't happened, either God hasn't said it yet or it's not his timing yet and we just need to wait. But if we start messing with it ourselves, we're going to stuff some stuff up for everybody. And everyone will pay, not just me and you and whoever made the dumb decision. So while we're waiting, there's some stuff we shouldn't do. Sit on your hands and put something in your mouth so you can't talk. Okay, there's also, while we're waiting, there's some things we can do. Praise God. I just realized this week, one of the best cures for anxiety, and I'm not encouraging over busyness, but stop thinking and start doing something. You know why we get anxious? Because we're overthinking something that we're not there yet. So what can we do while we're waiting? There's a few things. I'm only giving you three. There's a truckload of stuff you can do. Okay, and here's three. And I love these stories. And these are stories of people that had to wait, right? Here's another guy, David. King David, they reckon when he was anointed to be king, he's probably between the ages of 10 and 15, right? He didn't become king till he was another at least 15 years later. But this is what I love about the heart of David. In 1 Samuel 16:11, this is when Samuel came to anoint him as king. God sent Samuel to Jesse's house, and he had all these sons, and Jesse lined them all up and said, oh, you know, it must be this one. Nah, not this one. God says, not this one, not this one. There's no more sons. He got to imagine being Samuel, and you're trying to find who's next, meant to be the next king, and you run out of sons. So he said to Jesse quite boldly, have you got any other sons? I love this. Where was David? Where's David when you wait? Where are you when you're waiting for your vision to come to completion? Where am I when I'm waiting for God's promise to come through? I'll tell you where I should be. Should be where David was. He was serving. I love this book that was written called Training for Reigning. It's talking about you look at David every time he got an opportunity, whether it's to kill Goliath or whether it's when he got anointed. He was. That's what we're meant to do. Instead of worrying about the next piece of the puzzle, we're just meant to do the last thing God told us to do. That's all. When I do the pub run, I haven't done one for a while, but people sometimes say, you know, you're being good. I'm the Salvo guy. I said, I'm too busy doing good stuff to do the wrong thing. That's all you got to do. Just get so busy doing the last thing God told you to do, you're not going to worry about the next thing. We worry about the next thing because we're, you know, haven't got enough to do. We haven't done the last thing God's told us to do. The next thing is worship. Now, this is a story about Hagar. Now, Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. And she couldn't have kids. But year after year, she went with her husband and his other wife, because, you know, they had more than one wife those days, which wasn't a great idea. And they got antagonistic towards each other because one could have. See, the problem was Hannah's husband loved her more. See, this is why you don't have two wives. But the other wife was the one that could have the kids. And so there's all kinds of jealousy going on there. But every year, Hannah would still go up to the temple and worship. She'd still be faithful. You know where her breakthrough came? When she's at the temple. When she's worshiping. The priest Eli heard her prayer and he prayed too. And next thing you know, about 12 months later, she had a baby. Isn't that amazing? You know, when we're waiting for our vision to come to fruition, when we're waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled, we need to be where he's told us to be. The right place for Hannah to be was at the temple. So make sure you're where you're meant to be, not where you're not meant to be. Does that make sense? It's more chance of a breakthrough, trust me. Another thing she did was pray. And she prayed real, you see that. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She was weeping so bitterly, actually, that the priest accused her of being drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just so grieved that I can't have a baby. And that's when Eli prayed too. And we see that that Samuel was born out of that promise and out of that story. Amazing story. But here are people that were waiting. What were they doing while they were waiting? They were doing the last thing God told them to do. They were serving. They were worshiping. They were praying. They would have been into the Word. They would have been doing all the stuff. Has God told you to do something? No? Yeah? It's not a rhetorical question. Well, just keep doing that until he tells you the next thing. Again, you save yourself a whole lot of anxiety about worrying about what's next. He'll tell you what's next when it's time for what's next. Absolutely. One step. That's all he's asking. There is a book, I think it's called The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. It talks about spiritual disciplines. And in there is a discipline I think we need to revisit as a world. And it's called the discipline of slowing. Hey, just slow down. Just slow your mind down. Just slow your heart down. You only need to go fast when God says go fast. Otherwise, more often than not, I'd say we need to just slow down. Number four, while we wait, there's something that God does. This is good. I'm glad God does something. Well, actually, while we're waiting, God's done a whole bunch of stuff, actually. He's building the jigsaw. He's weaving the loom. He's doing a whole bunch of stuff in the background that we can't even see. But I want to focus on something that he does in us. And in James 1, 2 and 3, and there's another passage as well that talk about similar things, but it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I don't know about you, but I find waiting is a test. It's often a hard test. God says this is going to happen, then it doesn't happen. Or God gives me a desire. You know, God gave me a desire for a little girl, to have a little girl when I was 27. I hadn't even met my wife. And there was a desire in my heart that one day I'd have a little girl. Who knew I'd have four, hey? How good's that? But what's with God giving me that desire in my heart that was from Him when I was 27, I wasn't even married? That was a hard desire to embrace at the age of 27. I want to focus in on the word perseverance, because verse 4 of that same passage says, let perseverance finish its work. The word perseverance means a patient waiting for. Perseverance, a patient waiting for. And then I want to, it's not on your sheets or on the screen, but Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything in the hinderlight, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, the word race there in Hebrews 12:1 can be interpreted obstacle course. The word for race can be interpreted as conflict, fight, or struggle. So you could say, let's run the struggle. That's inviting. I got heaps of recruits selling that. Come on, come and be a Christian and come and run the struggle. No wonder they use the word race. It sounds heaps better. But friends, what it's saying is it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a struggle. Read the Passion Translation says this. Let's run life's marathon race. That's a bit less appealing, isn't it? Hey, this is a long road, friends. It's not a sprint. Slow down. Remember the guy in the story I told at the beginning of the message? It's the guy that didn't even start that won the race. There's a lesson. Hey, just, you know what? And God said that to Moses and children of Israel. You only need to be still. I'll fight this battle for you. See, the problem is when troubles come along, we go, oh, how do I fix it? God often says, just sit down and pray and I'll fix it. Just be still. Just be still. Just slow down. Just stop. It's a good time of year for this message, eh? Who stopped? What do you find when you stop? You go, what should I be doing? Should be doing something. Do you get like that? I'm not even ADHD and I get like that. Oh, there must be something I should be doing. No. Sit down. How hard is it to be still? But the word tells us that's how we connect with God, is to be still. See, while we're running around with a chook, like a chook with its head cut off, we're not connecting with God. We're not connecting with anyone, actually, or anything, usually. We're just running from one disaster to the next disaster, the next disaster, and half of them we create. So why not slow down and be still? Let's run life's marathon race. It's not a sprint. It calls for patient endurance. You know, when God asks us to wait, what He's really asking us is, can I sow into you what you need to finish well? That's a better way to put it, isn't it? Next time God says wait, don't hear wait. Hear Him say to you, I just want to take some time for you to learn some patient endurance so that you finish well. That you finish well. You know, a lot of Christian leaders don't finish well. You go and study it. I did a study last year because I was challenged by it. A lot of Christian leaders don't finish well. It's hard to finish well for all of us. Because the longer we go, the faster we want to run. I think if we learn to wait, we'll finish well. And I think we can all connect with the waiting thing. For 32 years, that shows you how old I'm getting, doesn't it? 32 years I've prayed and waited for my brother to fully return to the Lord. We used to worship in church together. For 28 years I've prayed and waited for my sister to return to the Lord. And for 23 years I've believed for revival to come to Australia. Those numbers keep adding up. But I can't make any of those things happen. I just have to pray and believe and wait and realize that I'm not in control of everything. Actually, I'm not in control of much at all. And come to the feet of Jesus and keep praying, keep waiting, and keep trusting. How about for you today? What are you waiting for? You know, the hardest thing to wait for sometimes is we don't even know whether God's going to give us a yes, keep waiting, or a no. And it's all about trusting Him. The journey I've been on the last 2 or 3 months is about trusting Him. When I prayed, God, I'm struggling. I'm not sure I trust You at the moment. And to come to this place of acceptance of my circumstances, acceptance of what was going on, and allowing that trust to come back and be able to pray just this week, Lord, I'm sorry that I prayed that prayer. I do trust You. You have proven to be trustworthy to me. And I believe by faith that You'll continue to be trustworthy. So this morning, invite the band to come up, and they're going to do a worship song you can engage with about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And you know, we know that we've come to terms with waiting when we feel His peace. And so this morning, I'd love it if God gave you, refreshed your vision, gave you a date of when you're going to get your breakthrough. But you know, what I most want for you is that you leave this place with His come to fruition yet, that He is faithful, that He is good, that He is trustworthy, and that He's got it. And He'll give you the next step when it's time for the next step. And He'll unfold everything when it's time for that to be unfolded. I encourage you this morning to engage with the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to come and kneel at the front if that's helpful. Get someone to pray with you, pray with someone else. Stand and worship, kneel and worship, whatever's helpful for you. But let's just engage in this time, hey?